Hi, everybody. Welcome to our penultimate 2023 episode of Watch or Not with Jay and MJ. I'm Jay.
I'm MJ.
So, for the 80th time this year, we got some splaining to do.
This one I feel like is a very valid.
It is very valid. Yeah. It is very valid. Just very, 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 very long story short. I had a planned procedure that was an adenoidectomy and a tonsillectomy that had some complications that prevented me from recording last week. So
some complications.
Yeah. It was tumultuous. It was a ride. But what we are going to do is, I know we said biweekly, but what we're going to do this time is we're going to say, hey, since these are our last two episodes, we're going to give you guys an episode, today, this one. And then we're still going to do our last episode next week as well.
Yeah, we already planned for it. We just had to postpone this one because Jeremy couldn't talk.
I mean, I could, but it would have been very strange.
Hey, look, you may have really liked the raspy voice. It may have done it for you. We don't know.
Yeah.
But you'll never get to hear that.
Yeah, no, sorry. Stories. So that's how everything is going to be working for the next couple of weeks. And then we'll be back in mid-January after our Christmas break. So there you go.
Is it bad that I'm kind of excited for the Christmas break?
No. Like Christmas is Christmas.
Okay, and before we get into our rest of our like docket, let me ask a quick question. Like last year and the last couple, like, you know, the pandemic and everything, this actually feels like Christmas to me this year a little bit more than it has been.
See, I've never been like, I'm not like a holiday guy.
Well, I'm not saying I'm a holiday, but like it feels more like I'm actually getting to see my family. I'm actually planning things. Like I feel like it's getting back to normal.
Okay, I guess I can maybe. Sure, I'm glad for you for that.
like the last couple of years were like, oh, well, we'll see like these two people this day. We'll see, like, we're trying to limit it. We'll maybe send you your gifts in the mail. This year's like, no, we're doing Christmas, the whole family.
Well, good for you.
Yeah,
I'm excited for you then.
Good.
We're not going to have a docket today, you guys, because here's the thing. We have a lot of things we want to talk about.
Exactly.
And we might not get to all of it. So
true.
We're literally just pulling things. We have a set list in our head, a set list. but I've also noticed that sometimes we get ambitious and we say we want to talk about all this stuff. And then it's been like 45 minutes and we get to the show and we're like, hi, this show was pretty good.
Bye. Look, goal for 2024, learn to rein in our pre-talk.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so.
Maybe that's the goal.
We'll see. We'll see.
It's not going to happen.
But first, let's discuss, you guys, there's a lot of stuff to talk about. So we're going to first start off with I think the big thing, which is Squid Games.
Yes.
Squid Games, the game, the challenge.
So you finished it, right?
Yes, I finished it.
I think I just started episode 4. I just got through the battleship game.
Okay.
So I'm like, I'm into it. Half the people are gone. I know what's going. Like, I get the image and the idea. Like, I just got past that.
Yeah. I think I was very interested. I was very intrigued, obviously.
First off, would you have done this?
I don't know. Like, I mean, yeah. Yeah, I think I would have. I think, because for me, the reason I don't do stuff like this is because I'm like, it does take a lot of physical, but this isn't really physical. This is really like strategic and chance, to be fair. So this is something I feel like I could feel like I wouldn't feel inadequate to do.
Okay.
You know?
The red light, green light one, I think, was the most physical I've seen so far.
Right. It is. It is the most physical.
Let's fill people in. For the people who didn't watch Squid Games,
right?
Obviously, Squid Games was a cultural phenomenon from Korea, correct?
Yeah.
It was a show where the whole premise was they take people who are down their luck, offer them tons of money. The more people who are eliminated from the competition, the pot builds till it gets down to the last player. Each game is some type of form of childhood game.
Right. And if you lose, you die.
Yes, in the show. Where this one, they did kind of carry that
which
through.
Which I didn't like. Like, so
they acted like they killed you.
Yeah, in the very first game, Red Light, Green Light, in the original one, if you moved, they shot you.
Yes.
And in this one, what it is it was more like you have like an ink pack under your shirt that would burst, which I got. I was like, oh.
I was not expecting.
That. I was like, oh, okay, I get it. That kind of lets them know, oh, you're out. Instead of having to go out to each individual person, tap you on the shoulder and say, you. It like it just pops and it's like, oh, fuck, I'm out of the game, which is fine. What I didn't like immediately was the fact that these people had to play dead.
That was where I got, because like the first pop got me, because I was like, oh, because I don't think they showed you, you just heard the sound, mm-hmm. and I wasn't expecting it. But like for the same thing, when they laid down,
I'm like,
that was weird.
I'm like, just sit down, cross-legged, you out of the game. Like, why do we have to, they say make it dramatic. That was something that took me out of it immediately, was that whole aspect of it. And then what was also kind of cool was like they were doing confessionals of people. And yes. I'm like, well, obviously, out of 456 players, we're seeing people who are going to make it to the end.
Yes.
And I think, like, if they interviewed 8 people on that first episode, 6 of them were out in the first game. And I was like, oh, okay, so we can't get, like, used to this.
Exactly.
Okay, got it.
Well, because, again, it was, what, like, 400 contestants?
456.
And you're going to 1. So, obviously, there's going to be a lot of footage to work with.
Yeah.
Because you don't know who's going to get through.
Right.
But I did like the fact that, and because I mentioned I got through episode 3, started episode 4, that the last game I saw was Battleships.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the fact they did this. There was that group of all the big dudes, like 4-3-2.
Because they thought it was the tug of war game, yeah. from the original show.
Because they were going in order like the show, and everybody's like, mm-hmm. oh, it's tug of war next, it's tug of war next. Oh, yeah, we're getting the big guys. And then they pull out Battleships, and I was like, I literally yelled in excitement because I was like, oh, they got you.
Yeah, because I mean, you definitely see people's personalities and stuff like that. I think that I think there's a lot of questions about this game is going to be how people will play it.
Yeah,
because there definitely is like in the, they do have the Glass Bridge episode,
which I think is the next one after what I like, which, I think that's 4.
I don't know if I want to ruin it for you.
I don't care. It's
like the group is like, let's do this. Let's all come up with a plan to make sure to see the maximum amount of people get through this game.
Mm-hmm.
And one person was like, no, basically. And because of that, somebody that I actually like was eliminated. And it like, so it's like, how are you going to play this game? Are you going to play? I mean, a lot of people are like, you know, it's individual. I have to do what's best for me. And I get that. But they're all that stuff starts to come into play of like, you know, do we have alliances? Do we not? There's also the thing of like, it definitely says, you know, you start building up these alliances and they say, you know, like there was actually a game where people are like, obviously going, oh, I'm going to enjoy this treat with my favorite person. And then that treat you enjoy, you basically just picked your opponent,
yeah.
for the next game without even realizing it. So you were like, oh, this is my best friend. These are my people. These are all my best friends and all my people I hang out with. And then it's like, okay, well, then you guys are facing off against each other in the next game. And it's like, so it's definitely like that psychological stuff.
Well, cool. And the one thing that got me was that one, I think it was in episode 2, where the guy ran to pick up the phone and he got the free meal. But then everybody came over and like grabbed his food from right. him. And then they called again. Why would he go pick it up a second time?
Because he was wanting to eliminate a player.
So but the thing is, like, the fact that they also, like, they'll do that randomly. So, like, there's the big games which eliminate a bulk of people, but there's the one-offs where, like, okay, he picked up the phone the second time, and they said, go ahead and make someone else pick up this phone, or you're eliminated.
They have tests. So they have the challenges, and then they have tests that are in between the challenges. And the yeah. tests will either, you know, either give a player an advantage, or it will give them the opportunity to eliminate a player just randomly without anything. So yeah, I was wondering how it's almost a little too dramatic, but I was very intrigued. If I can say, I think I was very let down with the last game. Very let down with the
last
game.
So is it the same like squid?
I don't remember what the last one was.
Where it was like the big sand lot and he had to get from this spot up and the other person's defending that one spot.
No, it was not that.
Okay.
I'm actually really annoyed by the last game, to be fair.
I'm gonna go back and finish it. I was enjoying it, but yes,
you should. It's still pretty cute. What was next?
Well, let's do Party of Three right before the review. So let's talk about the 2023 Game Awards.
Sure, this is your bag.
Yes. Okay. So the 2020. So every year I don't know who hosts it, but there's a Game Awards and they go through and they
your mom.
Oh, clever. And they go through and they have categories. Obviously, the ones I care about are going to be like the best game of the year. But the people who got nominated, I don't know if I like agree with all of the games that got nominated. So game of the year this year, the nominees were Alan Wake 2. I never played number one, and I had no plan on playing number two. Baldur's Gate 3. Fully understand why that was there.
Yeah.
Marvel Spider-Man 2. Completely agree. Resident Evil 4 Remake. I don't understand why that's in game of the year. It's a remake. It's not really changed the story much. You just really upgrade the graphics.
Right.
Super Mario Bros. Wonder. Okay, it's a Super Mario game, but
I've heard really good things about it, though.
We actually own it, and I've been playing it. It's really fun, but it came out like 2 weeks before this. So it's not been out for the whole year. And Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom obviously was a big up. Like, I agree with like Spider-Man, Baldur's, and Legend of Zelda. The other ones I question a little bit. But the winner this year was Baldur's Gate 3, which I have not yet played.
Yeah.
And you are currently playing.
Yeah, I think I've maybe played like 20 hours, maybe 15.
I've heard you can sing hundreds.
Yeah, and I enjoy it. I enjoy the we've talked about this before, but I do enjoy, it's a different type of game. Like, it's not just like a smash and grab. Like, it really is.
Well, people can like correlate it to like Dungeons and Dragons.
I think it's built. I think that's the way. It's not correlate. I think it's what it is.
Okay.
And it's pretty cool in that way, and it's infuriating, but not infuriating in a way of where I'm like, I'm gonna throw the controller. It's just infuriating of like, oh, I have to think about this. Like, you have to really think about everything, which is actually pretty cool.
So, and let me ask, and this is where I haven't done a lot of research into it. So I know in here you have specific characteristics like charisma or strength.
Yeah, yeah, dexterity and all that. Yeah.
And you do the dice roll. Obviously, when you level up, your stats go up. Can you max out everything, or do you?
I don't know if you're able to max everything. I don't know. I don't know.
Because I know like in things like Elder Ring or like those big ones that they make, you can, if you want to take the time, you can literally max out every stat, even though you pick like your starting character who has more strength to start out with. Like, you could technically max out everything. Where I feel like I don't like that, where I would think I like Baldur's Gate 3 more, where they give you some more restrictions. Like, you need to plan a little bit more. It's more strategic.
I think, because if I remember on Elden Ring, like, you could walk by an area, destroy whoever's walking around there, go around the corner, come back, and they're back, and destroy them again.
Yes.
In Baldur's Gate, once you've killed it, you've killed it. They're done.
They don't regenerate.
They don't respawn.
Oh.
So, because it's a story.
Okay.
Like, it's a literal like story. So they are not respawning. Like, once you've, like, if I remember correctly, I even think that like I've walked back through old areas and the blood is still there from the people that I've killed. Like, it's like you've killed those. So there's really, so huh. I would assume I would assume I'm answering your question now. Earlier I said, yeah. I don't know, but by saying that, yes, it's like once you get through, once you've killed these people, you've killed them.
So there's a limited amount of enemies. There's a limited amount of experience you could gain. I like that.
I would assume. Yes.
I like that a lot.
Yeah.
So I'm shocked that I'm actually happy that one.
Yeah, yeah. I know you talked about
the other one that kind of got a lot of awards was mm-hmm. Alan Wake 2, and it's one that I'm now thinking about going back and playing.
Okay,
like it got best game direction, best narrative, best direction. So cool. It's going to be like a really artsy game. Mm-hmm. But for the basis of our podcast, I feel like we had to call this one out, that the best adaptation, so best game to show or movie. The list was Castlevania, Gran Turismo, Last of Us, Super Mario Bros., and Twisted Metal. And The Last of Us won.
Yeah.
So, which cool. I think fully, because we watched every one of those except Castlevania.
I didn't watch Castlevania. I didn't see the new Gran Turismo movie.
That's right. That was the other movie.
I did watch Super Mario Brothers, and I did watch Twisted Metal as well.
I've tried Castlevania, and all my people who are anime fans said they love it. So it's actually like a good cartoon. I don't know the story of the games well enough to know if it's like the games, but I do, out of all those, I fully agree with The Last of Us being the winner. I think out of what I've seen, it's the best. So go Pedro Pascal. It's the year Pedro.
Exactly. He should have been people's sexiest man alive, not Patrick Dempsey. I know that was weeks ago, but
well, okay, first off, should have been, yes. And B, what was your thing that they've announced he's going to be Reed Richards in the Fantastic Four?
Yeah. Recently.
So year Pedro, I like it.
I hope we have multiple years of Pedro, if I'm honest.
You like the spicy Hispanics, little daddy issues with the gray hair.
I thought he was hot since Game of Thrones, like, you know, 10 years ago.
Was that the first introduction to him? That's the first thing I know him from.
That's not the first thing I know him from. Now, it's not the first thing I know him from, But when I say that, it's not, I didn't know who he was when I the first time I saw him, I didn't know who he was. I only know who he was after watching Game of Thrones and then going back and seeing him in this thing. Mm. And I've said this before. He was in season 4, episode 1 of Buffy the Vampire Slayer playing Eddie.
Yes. And, okay.
So that wasn't my first introduction to him was Game of Thrones. But my first memory of him is Buffy season 4, episode 1, The Freshman, where he plays Eddie, who, you know, is having a hard time at college.
Wow, and he's got a lot of credits to his name.
He was having a hard time, you know, blending into college, and him and Buffy both, and had a conversation, and they actually kind of made friends. And what?
No, go. I'll tell you in a second.
And they made friends, and then like the next day she went to go see him, and his whole room was gone. And what happened was he got bitten by a vampire and turned into a vampire.
So he goes from Buffy the Vampire Slayer in 1999 to his next credit is Touched by an Angel in 2000.
I remember that show. Jesus. Della Reese. Woo! But yeah, that's exciting.
Yeah. I'm hoping he gets more recognition here coming up too.
Yeah, me too. I think we should hop to Party of Three.
Yeah, let's do it.
So you guys, the show that we are, reviewing today, is Apple TV Plus Lessons in Chemistry. Mm-hmm. And for most people, the last time you ever dealt with chemistry was probably in what? High school.
Right? Easily. Yes. Easily. I never did it in college.
So we were like, what were your favorite subjects in high school? Like what?
So are we limiting to high school or are we saying entire collegiate career?
I don't care. Just what were your favorite subjects? What were your favorite school subjects? We'll just say that.
Okay. Okay.
Because I'll let you it's kind of interesting.
I'll let you go first.
Honestly, when I think back to it, I don't know why I didn't keep going with it, or why I had a plan in my head.
Yes,
that I was going to be, you know, an actor type,
a TV
know,
personality,
creative. You know,
yeah.
So, but I do remember. I really did. This is going to be so cliche, but I really did like chemistry. I did so well in chemistry. Chemistry was one of my best subjects, and it was one of the, to me, it was fun. Mm-hmm. And it was because I didn't like math, but somehow chemistry was kind of like that blend of science and math that kind of like,
fair enough,
that I kind of actually enjoyed. I remember really liking that class, and I did really well in it when I was in high school. I don't know why I didn't go any further with it. I think I thought about it and just didn't.
Yeah.
But chemistry was one of my favorites. I remember it. I loved it.
I'm going to be cliche on my first one. I'm going to say PE, but specifically freshman PE.
That's not a subject. I'm kidding.
Because freshman PE was, they did half a year in a classroom where it was like health.
That's stupid.
And half a year in the gym, but each week in the gym was a different sport. Like we did a week of golf, a week of tennis, a week of swimming. Like we had introduction to a lot of different, like see what you like kind of thing.
Mm. That's interesting actually.
I like, cause yeah, I like that they were like, okay, we're not going to strictly just be like, you're going to run all day. Like, no, we're going to go out to the practice field for the football team and you're going to hit some golf balls. We're going to go in, put a net up in, we're going to play badminton or we're going to play tennis. Like they made us do different sports.
That's kind of cute.
I like that a lot.
Yeah. That's cute.
Yeah, it really awoken like, oh, I like to just joke around and play horse with friends. Like, oh, I actually like playing wiffle ball. Like
horse cock.
Oh. Funny.
Okay, I'm done. Well, cool. That's cute. Yeah. I like that. I don't think my PE did that. I don't think we played different sports. I think it's cute because it could expose you. You know, if you weren't sure what kind of sport you would like to play, if at all.
Yes.
You'd be like, oh.
Exactly.
Look at this. This is interesting.
I will say the weird one was, I think they did like, it wasn't a whole week, but they did a couple days of dance.
Did you guys, do you remember like elementary school where you had like the little scooters, the little flat scooters with the wheels at the bottom?
Do you remember? Yeah. And then like.
The balloon, the big balloon.
It was like, yeah, where you did like the parachute. The parachute one was fun.
Yeah, it's where you would sit inside of the parachute. Oh my gosh. Elementary school PE was the best.
Did y'all do Jump Rope for Heart?
Yes, I did Jump Rope for Heart.
Jump Rope for Heart was the that and field days were the best days.
Oh my God. Jump Rope for Heart. If you guys didn't have Jump Rope for Heart, it was basically just like, what was it? It was just, you just had to jump rope a lot.
So and from what I remember, it was you broke into teams of four and they had, it was almost a whole day or half day you literally just had to jump rope with between, like someone on your team had to be constantly jumping rope. But the more you jumped and the more people you got to like, contribute was donations to the Heart Association.
American Heart Association, maybe? Yep. I think you're right. Jump rope were fucking hard, dude.
Dude, it was fun.
And then field day, God.
Well, what was your event?
I loved water relay.
Water relay?
Which it was like, what it would do is it was like we had, each class had like a team.
Yeah.
And then it was, there at the end of the thing, there was like a cylinder or something like that with the ball in it.
Okay.
And you had to run water across and fill up the cylinder to get the ball out.
Oh, no. See, we didn't. We may have had that. We did very traditional, like Olympian, like track runs.
We did some track too, but we had some other fun games.
Frisbee throw, not shot put, but like who could throw the tennis ball the furthest down the field.
See, we had a mix.
Tug of war.
We had a mix. We had a mix of stuff. So yeah, water relay was one of my favorites, if I remember correctly.
The only one I ever did, and I have to admit this, and I really, going back and thinking about it, I really kind of like feel insulted by my teachers for this. I only ever got put on the tug of war team because I was a fat kid.
I mean, well.
And they're like, here, you're going to go sit at the end of the rope. And I'm like, you all are assholes.
but you felt good about it. You were like, hey.
I never lost.
Exactly. So, you know, maybe just a winner mindset, you know?
we know how to use like, what we got.
You know
what?
I know you don't like your weight right now, but in order for us to win this, we need you to get over it.
Yeah. Here.
For 30 seconds, just get over it.
Wrap this around your thigh because it can't go around your waist. Go.
Just do it.
And just sit.
Just go. You got it, buddy. For me, I think...
All right, number two.
I think a second would be, I'm going to go to a college class. It was really my creative writing class.
Okay.
Again, with just the creative part of it. It was really cool because I remember like we had to write these little short stories. I have to have you read it one day if I still have it somewhere.
Okay.
But we wrote these short stories and I was actually really proud of this one because what I did was I wrote it from a female point of view.
Interesting take.
And
you've told me about this. I've yet to read it though.
And I was like, I don't know if I still have it, but it was like my teacher was just like, oh my gosh, I wouldn't have even thought about doing that. And I was like, really? Like, I'm a gay dude. Of course I thought about this, you know, like
did I know you were gay at the time?
Maybe, probably, who knows? But that one was a class that really got a lot of my creative juices flowing. Like I never thought of myself as like a writer. And, it was, and I never thought of myself as like an actor, which is why I was so scared out of those classes when I was in college. I was always like, I was always worried about what everybody else's experience was as opposed to mine. But when I did this class, it really was like, it really kind of opened me up creatively in a way where I didn't pursue any of that.
Yes.
But I remember that teacher, I remember that class, and I remember doing, I think it's because it was a thing where I had projects that I actually wanted to do.
See, you know? That really does help.
So I did love my creative writing class in college. So
I'm gonna need you to get out of my head. It's not creative writing, but you'll see the similarities here in a second. I'm gonna go collegiate. And I don't remember. I think it was modern philosophy. It was one of my philosophy classes. But my teacher was the head of the philosophy department. Mm-hmm. He was that really laid back, cool kind of like his first introduction.
He wore Birkenstocks. I'm
kidding. No, he had like the glasses and like the wispy kind of like. Cut over hair and wore the suit jackets.
And Birkenstocks.
No, he wore loafers.
Well.
Still slip-ons. But his like introduction to us, he's like, hi, I'm a philosophy major. I have my PhD. If you want to go to get your doctorate in philosophy, just make sure you have, you know, a friend who can get you Advil and wine. Because you're going to need both. And I was like, okay, so he's funny. He likes to kind of like connect with the kids. But the penultimate, or I guess it was the final for the class, was writing a philosophy article, like taking an actual subject and writing it for the class. And normally he says, I grade these along the lines of, you know, what's a collegiate going to be?
Yeah.
But we had some older upperclassmen in there. And we actually asked and said, like, will you grade this looking at it as if you would submit this to a philosophy journal? So he read it in light of, or like with the mindset of professionally publishing.
Mm-hmm.
I got a B+ on the paper. And he actually talked to me and said, if he wanted to, we could sit down and actually work on this to get to an A to get it published.
That's cool.
So like it was that first, like you said, that first where I didn't realize like, oh, maybe I am a decent writer. Maybe I do have decent thoughts and thought processes and can do this.
Yeah. My little short story for philosophy was that one of my roommates in college was a philosophy major, and I had this paper that I was procrastinating on. He was like, you're not going to be able to procrastinate a philosophy paper. That doesn't make any sense. And he was just like, blah, 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 and you really have to think about it. Nah, 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 nah. And I did it the night before and got an A-. He was so pissed.
Look.
He was like, what'd you get in that paper? I was like, I got an A-, asshole. I was like, all I did was ask a bunch of questions and not answer them. So
philosophy. Some people just get philosophy.
I was like, I just asked a bunch of questions. I'm like, but why? But also why this? But then why this? And let's connect those dots. You know, like, see, I'm like, the key
is you have to answer some of them to get to the next point. Like, well, if you take this as a certainty, then that will, like, you semi-answer.
I think I picked a hugely vague subject.
Yeah.
And then, like, was able to just bullshit my way out of it. I think I chose, like, does evil exist or...
He also taught like a philosophical class where we talked about art a lot, was the same teacher.
Mm-hmm.
So my premise was, is any art original because of what you can classify art as?
Mm-hmm.
Like, so I took that as the premise. Like, can it be technically anything be art, or is art even art? I took a very like weird concept, but he liked it.
Yeah.
But
I'll say my third one. I can't remember if I took a class or if it was an after school thing, but I'm going to count it. Anything I did was drama. Any kind of theater thing I did, obviously. That was something that I enjoyed through middle school, through high school. Obviously, back at the college, I got in my own head and stopped that, which I really wish that I hadn't. But theater, drama was huge throughout my entire middle school and high school thing or careers. I really enjoyed that whole aspect of, you know, learning the lines and being able to embody a character. I just wish that I had allowed myself to really kind of like hone in those skills.
Yeah.
That's my other one. Yeah.
I think you're done well with that. For my last one, I'm going to go collegiate again, just because my high school didn't offer like a home ec class.
Hmm.
And I would have been that. I would have been the guy who would have taken the home ec. Because all the girls are in it. But B, like, why don't you want to know how to prepare a meal? Why don't you want to, like, there's a couple things you wish you could have learned.
Girl, can I pick a cupcake?
Can
I take these home too?
But I've also took that further, and I have a culinary degree. And my favorite.
Still ain't seen not one goddamn thing. You still ain't made me not one banana bread don't fucking count, bitch.
Fair enough. But no, my favorite class out of culinary school had to probably be the international one where you learn
soups and sauces. I'm kidding.
That was like first class.
Oh, it was called soups and sauces?
No, it was introductory. So you learn like the five mother sauces, how to build off of those.
Introductory soups and sauces. Intro to soups and sauces. We're going to learn how to make a bouillabaisse, and also we're going to learn how to make a hollandaise. All of the A's we're going to learn today.
Well, the five mother sauces, just think Beth V, bolognese.
I don't know who Beth is.
Bolognese, espagnol, tomato, hollandaise, velouté.
Espagnol means Spanish.
It's a Spanish sauce.
Okay, girl.
But no, so like it was international, and I loved learning all the different cultures and... like different things that we could do. But the final was really, I really, really liked. And I don't remember. We never did a South American week of learning, but we, for our final, they're like, okay, each person gets a South American country. You have to make a 3-course meal from that country.
Mm.
So I got Argentina. And I did a basic kind of like steak and veggie grill, was really good. I forget what my second course was, but my dessert. I worked on my dessert. I did a brandy ice cream. I forget the name of the cookie, but it was a light flaky cookie. And I made little brandy ice cream cookie sandwiches and rolled the outside in a, I forget what nut it was, but in a certain type of nut and served that.
Sure it was.
I think it was coconut.
Creamy nut.
Maybe. But no, like the brandy ice cream was delicious. Literally, my...
If he does say so himself. I'm pretty sure it was.
The people judging, they're like, look, your main course, it tasted good. Your plating sucks. You should do this, blah, 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 blah. Your ice cream dessert course, A+. Like, I knew the dessert part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved researching and figuring out the flavors. And I like prepped it and worked at my dad's house and like did this 3-course meal multiple times to get ready. Like, I worked good for that. That's cute.
That's cute.
Yeah.
I like that for you. Well, nice. Awesome. Trip down memory lane.
I was like, I pull from so many different aspects of my life. Trip
down memory lane of school. Get your books. Cool. Well, you know what? I think it is time for us to do our review. So we'll be back.
Right. everybody. Welcome back to our episode and review on Lessons of Chemistry. Lessons in Chemistry. I am sorry.
From
Apple Plus. It is not an Apple Plus original, though. It was a book originally.
I mean, it's an Apple TV original.
Well, true. It is an Apple TV original.
Based on a book.
Yes. Which I actually started trying to listen to the book before watching the show. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll tell you about it when we get into the show discussion. But first off, plot about the show. It's one of our last ones. Go ahead. Give me your synopsis of what you think, how you would describe this.
Lessons in Chemistry follows aspiring chemist Elizabeth Zott and her daughter through their growth in life. I don't know. This is hard.
You literally went too far.
Okay.
Set in the 1950s, Elizabeth Zott's dream of being a chemist is put on hold when she finds herself pregnant, alone, and fired from her lab.
Oh, yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
You started giving a little bit more description in there.
Yeah, I went a little too far. I get you. I'm with you.
Whoa. What?
I just thought about something, and then I realized it wasn't as important as I thought it was.
But you have to share it now.
It really isn't important.
Will you tell me after the recording?
Sure, if I remember it. It's not that important.
What? You gasped and made me jump.
Well, it's fine.
It's fine.
Let's go through our cast.
All right. So our main characters that we're going to go through, we'll start obviously with the main one, Elizabeth Zott, played by Brie Larson.
Here's the thing about Brie Larson.
You went right into
it. I like Brie Larson in everything but Captain Marvel's role. Like,
yeah,
I loved her in Room. I've loved everything.
I've never saw that.
Oh my God. Depressogram. The most depressing movie ever. Okay. One of.
Yeah.
And I love her in everything, but for some reason, when it came to Captain Marvel, I just found her to be fucking bland as hell. And I don't know what it was or what it is, but I like her as an actress. I just don't think Captain Marvel was right for her, but I like Brie Larson.
Well, and I don't know, and my only playing devil's advocate here, I don't know the character of Ms. Marvel, if she has a really big Captain Marvel. If she has a personality to play, maybe she's playing exactly how the character is written.
I mean, fine. She can be bland if all she wants, but I ain't gonna make nobody come over there. I don't want to know about no Captain Marvel. She could be bland.
Fair enough. I don't know.
Can we get some seasoning? I know she's white and all, but.
Did you go see the new one? You said you were thinking about it.
I thought about it, but no.
Okay.
It'll be on Disney Plus in like 2 months.
Fair enough.
I'll watch it then. But she plays Elizabeth Zott. And Elizabeth Zott is a non-traditional woman. She is like, especially in the 50s, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
She thinks for herself. She's very much like, why would I do that? That doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make, why? Like, she's always questioning.
If you want to think of, like, Spock from Star Trek, like, always logical.
Yeah.
Very, yeah. like thinks everything out.
Methodical.
Yes. But the thing for her is she, and we can get into a little bit more, she stopped at her master's. She does not have her PhD in chemistry, so most people don't take her seriously as a chemist.
Right.
That's her biggest thing. She presents herself and she wants to be a chemist so bad,
right?
But that piece of paper, everybody just dismisses her.
And
she's a woman. Exactly. There's a whole, yes.
Yeah, it's not just because of that piece of paper, it's because she's a woman.
True, yes.
And they're like, wear a poodle skirt.
Everybody thinks she's a secretary. They want her to join the pageants and put her hair up.
Where's your petticoat?
Yeah, I don't know why.
Like, when we say methodical, we'll give an example where she actually has been, like, she mentioned she's been trying to perfect her lasagna recipe and she's made like 80 times.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just changing little things and making notes about it. Like, that's how methodical she is. She's like, I'm gonna make the perfect lasagna.
I mean, she is a scientist. She does the scientific method when it comes to even cooking food.
Yeah. Next.
Next is her love interest of the show, Calvin Evans, who's played by Lewis Pullman. I don't know Lewis.
Was Calvin's name Calvin Evans in Greek?
Was it? Okay. Well,
now we have to know. Okay, so sorry. While you look it up, I have to tell you. Because if you guys know the show Greek from the early 2000s, Calvin the black guy in
Kevin Owens.
Okay, so he's in this show as somebody's husband. He's not in a lot. We're not going to talk about him. But when you just said Calvin Evans, I was like, wait, was his name Calvin Evans? So it was Calvin Owens in Greek.
Paul James played Calvin Owens in Greek.
Okay, but sorry, yes. It, same letters. I mean, Evans Owens is
very close.
Yeah, because we both were like, wait a minute, was it?
Because I had the thing. I was like, no, it's
not. Okay, so Calvin Evans. Sorry, go ahead.
Played by Lewis Pullman, who I didn't know was Bill Pullman's son until you mentioned it.
I knew because they look alike. Like when I saw him, I was like,
I didn't put it together.
I was like, they look alike.
I need to go look at Bill real quick. Hold on.
They look alike.
Give me a moment.
So basically, Lewis Pullman's been in a couple movies. I think the most recent was Top Gun, the new Top Gun.
Yeah.
But.
Okay, they do look alike.
Calvin Evans is a renowned, I don't want to say renowned, but I guess he is renowned.
Yes.
Chemist. Like he's received grants and funding. There's this thing called the Remsen Fund, like to keep their lab operating, you know? So he's like, they give him whatever he wants. He's like, I need a lab on myself. And like, sure, do whatever you want. So he really is like the name that their chemist, that their laboratory, Hastings Laboratory, is really hitching on to because he's the one bringing in the money and the grants and the funds.
If anybody has seen Big Bang, he's very much the Sheldon Cooper. He doesn't like company. He has things specifically his way. He wants them. He thinks he's the end all be all. No one's as smart as he is.
I didn't get that from him.
He's a little arrogant.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm also going through the book that I was listening to. Mm-hmm. In the show, we find out later on about the past and like some of their relatives and things. Mm-hmm. The book, first chapter. Like it's just right. Oh, okay. Like okay. You learn like all this arrogance of him. And all, like, mm-hmm. So there's a lot more up front in the book.
Yeah.
That they kind of gloss over or stretch out to the end.
Yeah.
Specifically, the brother of Bree. You know about that first chapter.
Oh, of Elizabeth Thought?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But he's also kind of like Elizabeth. Very methodical, you know, that kind of thing.
Which is why they really get along.
Yeah. Next.
Next is Aja Naomi King, who plays Harriet Sloan, who is the, not next door, but across the street neighbor of Calvin Evans. And in the future,
his black neighbor.
I was going to get there.
Yeah. So Calvin basically bought a house in a black neighborhood.
Yeah. Calvin.
Predominantly black.
I will say the one thing about Bree and like Bree's character, Elizabeth Zott, and Calvin Evans in the show and in the book, I'm assuming, they don't see race. Like that's the one thing. They're like, people are people.
Well,
we take them at face value of.
They see color, they just don't care.
Well, okay. Very much true. Because like Calvin. You see in an episode later in the show, he moves into this and he's listening to jazz and it's like a very prominent black jazz mm-hmm. musician. And Aja and her husband come over to greet him in the neighborhood and they're like, oh, you know, it's going to be fun. Oh, he's got good taste in music. And then they look in the window and they see this white man dancing mm-hmm. crazily. And the husband's like, that's a white boy. We ain't going to, don't knock on that door. She's already knocking on the door. And he opens up, he's like, oh, thanks for the pie. I love it. Blah, blah, blah. And he gives her the record. No questions asked. Like yeah. It's very like, I don't care if you're black. You're still a human. Yeah. This place was convenient. It's close to my job. Why would I not move into this? I don't care if it's a black neighborhood.
Yeah. But yeah, Harriet Sloan she's also at the moment, her husband is away, you know, on leave, not medical leave. I'm sorry.
Army.
Yeah. He's in the army. Mm-hmm. And she's like, you know, trying to be a single mom this for two kids. And she's also,
paralegal.
Paralegal. She gave up like, I guess her law degree because her husband, you know,
was going through medical school. He's the lead
residency fellowships and all that.
Is he the lead surgeon?
Don't know.
I forget what it's called, but he's at one of the Kaiser facilities.
Yeah. And then fourth, we'll discuss
is Elizabeth Zott's daughter, Madeline Zott, which through the whole series they call her Mad.
Yeah.
Which I love the story behind the, like, literally when they're trying to decide her name, the nurse goes, well, if you don't have one, just, you know, name her what you're feeling right now. And Elizabeth goes, I'm feeling Mad.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Who plays Mad?
It's played by Alice Hazley.
Yeah. And
Halsey. I don't know. Halsey.
Yeah. So Mad is very much a mixture of, you know, you could definitely tell straight away that she is, you know, Elizabeth's daughter mm-hmm. because she is, you know, methodical and she likes to read and she likes to think about things. She likes to question things. She wants to solve issues. She wants to solve problems like that. You could just tell that that is the kind of kid that she's like. She's very advanced for her age, is what we'll say.
And I love the relationship that her and Elizabeth have together, because when Madeline comes to her with an issue, Elizabeth does not laugh at any question. It's, mm-hmm. let's talk about it. And they sit down and they actually have an adult conversation.
Yeah.
It's very like give and take. And yeah. I like how she treats her as an equal almost, right. instead of a child.
Right. Exactly. So as we're going through like the show itself, so let's discuss. So the show really does start off where we really do. It starts off a little weird, not weird, but it starts off letting us know. I think the first scene is Elizabeth Zott on TV.
Cooking. Walking through the store, like the getting ready to go cook.
Yeah. And we see like these TV executives like running around and like mm-hmm. blah, blah. And we're like, what is this? What is this show about? And then she shows up to the studio and we see her and she's like, good evening, everybody. This is Separate Six. And we're like, oh, so she runs a cooking show. So that's what this is about. And then it kind of like, through that first episode, they're really kind of showing us glimpses of this cooking show that she's doing.
Yeah.
But also it really kind of flashes back to, you know, years earlier where she's working as a chemist quote unquote in a lab.
Yes.
So it really does. It immediately hits you with that question of like, wait, so how did she go from a chemistry
exactly.
lab to being a tea personality cooking shit?
Yes.
You know,
which two things, again, like I did not listen to much of the book. This is all I really remember is in the book. I feel like they played the show down to not be as important in the show, because in the book they mentioned like, oh, the president, Lyndon B. Johnson, even watched Supper at Six. And like, so they played it down to not as, like, I don't know why. Mm. And they kind of played it down, or they didn't do the same like meet cute of how Elizabeth met Calvin. It was a little different, which I can go into like when we get to that point.
I don't remember how she met him. So,
But no, so like you said, the first episode opens the book of, well, how did she go from being kind of like a secretary in this chem lab to having her own show? Because there's what, maybe like 5 years between the two?
No.
Was it pretty quick? Like maybe 2 years or so?
No, because...
she was, the daughter was 7-ish. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was a while. So it was like probably 7 and 10 years.
Yeah, probably.
Okay. But yeah, so there's a big gap we're trying to fill in here in the first part.
Right. So, I mean, obviously she's trying to, you know, work her way up in these labs, but obviously these dudes don't take her seriously. They force her to be in the company, you know, beauty pageant that she doesn't want to be in,
exactly.
you know, and all the women don't like her because they think that she's anti-woman because she does want to be in these pageants, but she's obviously just being like, I don't want to be in them because I just don't want to be in them and I find them a waste of time. But if you like them, do it. Like, so it's like that is where we are with her.
And her coworker Fran, like her job is to put on this pageant, and you know, Elizabeth kind of like just glossing over it, and like she feels like she's not acknowledging the work she's putting into.
Yeah, and I do think that Elizabeth does think in an instant when she's above it.
Yeah,
I think that's where her and Calvin have a little bit of the arrogancy is where they're like they're a little above it. And I don't remember how they met, but they kind of meet in passing because I think he mistakes her for a secretary, and she takes like a fit. I don't remember how. Who knows?
So I don't remember. So he like goes off on her for. I forget.
Oh, she stole chemicals out of his lab.
Yes.
That's what it was.
Where in the book, she came up to get beakers for her lab, and mm-hmm. she commandeered beakers and took them down. So he thought
she
was,
still stole.
Yes. But he thought she came up and like was a secretary. That's why he assumed she was a secretary in the book, because she came up to get the beakers for the people in her lab.
And then in this one, she just stole from him. And
yes.
He was like, bitch. So that's how.
But then he comes to the pageant to apologize once he figures out she has her master's in chemistry. And then that's where he gets sick smelling the lady's perfume in front of him and runs out when she leaves and throws up on her dress. So she takes him home because he got sick.
She helps him out.
Yeah.
And then, you know, eventually she ends up actually getting transferred to his lab to help him out. Well,
yes.
Well, basically because he's trying to work on a project and she is too. And he's like, I'll give you the space to work on whatever you want to work on. Just do it in my lab. So that's, they start working, you know, side by side together, really helping each other out, which is how they end up, you know, really kind of developing, you know, feelings for each other.
Which in the book, and this is the last thing, this is where I stopped in the book. It was that part. He made a point of her research helped his. So that's how he spun it.
Okay.
I don't know if they said that in the show or not.
Mm.
Yeah.
But yeah, so after that, after, you know, that first couple episodes, really what this show starts to like really kind of focus on is the whole is a couple of things. One, how do we go from here to this cooking show?
Exactly.
Number one. Second, one of the other things is Harriet's plight, years long plight, because they
very long.
They want to, you know, put up a freeway right through their neighborhood.
Yes.
So she's fighting that fight on one end. And then the other big, you know, kind of plot is really Mad trying to figure out as much as she can about, you know,
her dad,
you know, yeah. putting those pieces together and really kind of understanding where she comes from and you know, that kind of thing. So that is really like the biggest piece of that takes over the whole, like, I want to say episodes 4 through 8.
Well, really. And I will say, and I'm not ruining it here, like, you know pretty quickly who her dad is. He's just out of the picture, and she's trying to figure out, kind of like fill in the holes and get to know him. Because they start out the show with the elementary school teacher assigning a family tree. Mm-hmm. And obviously everybody kind of knows what to expect. But we learned that, like, Elizabeth, she's not very close to her mother and father. Her brother is no longer with us. He's dead. Mm-hmm. Do you want to say who the father is of Mad?
I mean, we can leave it. But yeah, she doesn't know what to do
exactly
with this tree, and that kind of prompts the question of like,
where do I come from? Yeah, who are my parents? Who am I?
What pieces of me are from whatever?
Exactly. So
that really does start those kind of thoughtful conversations. And I think this is the first time where you mentioned that Elizabeth is like very upfront with Mad. Mm-hmm. This is really the first time where you start seeing Elizabeth either kind of holding back or kind of not really wanting to talk about it or kind of really kind of glossing over things, and which in turn really pisses off Mad, because Mad's like, we talk about everything, and now with this, for some reason, it's like a whole thing. So you start to see a little tension with them and with her trying to navigate that, and Elizabeth trying to navigate, you know, talking about something that isn't science related. You know, she comes to her with a question about something science. Elizabeth can do it, but when it comes to like the emotional stuff, I think that's where she's a little emotionally stunted and doesn't know what to do or what to deal.
Well, and I will say it, and the reason I think Elizabeth has like two main reasons why she doesn't. One,
it's too painful.
It's too painful was the main one. She doesn't want to talk. She wanted to like really just hold on to what she knew and not give a lot of information. Mm-hmm. But two, she wasn't with him that long. She really doesn't know that much.
Yeah.
So it's really hard to answer a question when you don't know the information, right. Nor because we find out that, you know, Matt's dad's parents are also dead, you know, so who do you go to get the answers?
Right.
Yeah.
And then with that, we'll also call, like, there was a really random episode though where there's a lot
episode
of
episode three
was actually narrated by some of the thoughts of
The family dog. And
6:30.
It pulled at my heartstrings.
It was actually a really cute. It's an episode that feels out of place.
It does.
But I actually thought it was a good episode. I thought it was a cute episode, you know, because
it was unexpected in a good way.
Yeah. It's really, this episode is really like, what does the family dog or what does the family, you know, pet do when tragedy strikes? You know, what are their thoughts? And they really took it from that aspect, which was, I mean, I don't know about you, but sometimes I think about like, what would my dog think if like I never came home? Like what would my dog think if I like passed out and fell and you know, like it really kind of puts those thoughts in your head, especially if you're a pet person.
Mm-hmm.
This one.
Like, and I'm not going to ruin like anything of why he thought this, but when the dog thought like, I was here to protect them and I couldn't do it. That it just hit me in the gut.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, why?
Yeah. So that was a very interesting episode to me, the way they did it.
It really stuck out. And like, honestly, the first two, because of, again, seeing where this is going and knowing that it's going to be a lot of inequality being highlighted and how it was overcome was the main point of these stories. Yeah. I was like, okay, this was a good step back. This is a good retreat.
We get like, we really do kind of jump right in with Harriet's story too, mm-hmm. where we start to see like where a part of it is like with Elizabeth being like, you know, so methodical and so whatever, even she doesn't really see the kind of inequality that happens between her and and Harry. And I didn't mean to correct you earlier when you said they don't see color, because I think that for me, I think that people think that the sign of being not racist is not seeing color. It's like, no, that's not what
being, they accept them.
That's not what it is. It's not even accept. It's like, no, I see and I understand and I notice you're black, and I understand that because of that, there are things that you can't do or things that society forces you to do or doesn't allow you to do because of the fact that you are black.
Exactly.
And I am choosing as a person to forego all of that.
Yeah.
No, I see that you're black and I understand our differences. And I think that's the thing, is that Elizabeth and Calvin both saw Harriet as like, you know, I understand that you're black and I get it and I don't care. But it's like neither one of them saw the struggles. None of them really saw past of like, what does it mean for her to be black in this time?
Well, and I think the really good highlighted point of that is like when Calvin first meets Harriet and what's her husband's name? Charlie.
Yeah.
And then come played over.
Played by Greek Calvin Owens.
Yes. When they come in and they're introducing themselves, you know, Charlie sits down and even, it might have been Harriet who said, my husband's lead surgeon at blah, blah. And Calvin's like, okay. And then when Charlie tries to like play up, she goes, oh, but Harriet's, you know, a legal specialist, blah, blah, blah. He turns to her and he's super excited and he like celebrates the fact that she has this degree because he can help her. And like, he doesn't like just automatically applaud the man. Like, if you're not beneficial, I kind of
think no, he got excited because he had a legal issue.
Yeah, but it's the fact that like most people at that time probably been like, but she's a woman, she can't help me. Like, he accepted her like, oh, you can help me, even though I don't care if you're a woman, I don't care if you're black. Like, I see you for what you are. You have a legal degree, you have a mind, you can sit there and actually process this. Like, you are important is how I took that.
Yeah.
Recognizing her achievements.
Yeah.
That's how I took it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think we can really hit Bay of the Week.
I'm gonna let you go because I've gone the last couple weeks first.
And this is I'm gonna return.
Okay.
To like, I mean, we hate to do this.
Yeah.
But I really do think Brie Larson really killed it. Like, and I kind of telegraphed this at the beginning of the episode where I was like, everything that Brie Larson in it is in Captain Marvel, I love her in.
Yeah.
And this was like, she was just too perfect.
She did such a good job bringing this character to life. I do want to go give the book more chance now because of like that. But
with her in mind.
Exactly. It was so convincing. Like, I thought she had gone through some of the troubles and turmoil that this person had gone through. Like, she embodied. It was so good.
She's a great actress. Like, yeah. I mean, I almost feel like now Captain Marvel is beneath her because she because I mean, and not that I don't, you know, I love the Marvel movies. You know, I do.
Yeah.
But I feel like that was like, beneath
I get where you're coming from.
Cause she's so good. Like, she really is. Like, she's just good. I think that's why I was so surprised with Captain Marvel. Cause I was like, girl, I know you can do better.
This brought me back around to Brie, to being like, oh my God, this is the Brie that you need to bring to like everything.
Room. Go watch Room.
Just told me it was so depressing.
But you need to go watch it. Just watch some Disney afterwards. Cause like,
okay,
you're going to need it, honey.
Put on Bluey afterwards.
You're going to need, go watch Room. Seriously, it's a good movie.
Okay.
I watched one day when I was sick and I was like, this fucking movie. I have for a long time lauded that The Hours was one of the most depressing movies I'd ever seen, with Julianne Moore, Nicole Kidman, and Meryl Streep. Yeah, it's from like early 2000s, mid 2000s.
I don't think I've seen it.
And The Room overtook that shit by a fucking mile.
Okay.
So there you go.
So then jump into Watch or Not.
Do you want me to go? Or do you want to go?
I'll go.
Go ahead.
I 100% believe this is a watch. Yeah. I started out again thinking I need to give the book more time, but coming into this, having listened to a little of the book, I know I've pressed this so many times. It was very heavy on the inequality of women in the workplace. Mm-hmm. Very heavy on that in the beginning.
Yeah.
This show stretched that out, lightened it up a little bit so it's not as prominent, but it still gets its point across.
Yeah.
And I like that the fact that this show didn't just highlight the inequalities like some shows, I think, like, oh, we just want to remind you that this happened. I liked that this book and the adaptation of the show found ways to correct and kind of show like them triumphing over those inequalities a little bit. Like, it made me feel good. Like, okay, you not all of them, but you have some adversities that you're like, oh, I'm going to beat that by this way, or I'm going to keep going or find another way to get to that point. Like, they did triumph in some aspects. It wasn't just like a highlight of, well, women had it bad in the 20s or black people had it bad in the 20s. There was some highlights and good points in it.
Black people still got it bad, girl. I'm just kidding. Yes. I would say so watch as well. I think this is a show. This is kind of one of the first shows in a while where I honestly, if I wanted to, I probably could have binged this in 2 days.
I think I did.
I was that intrigued in it. I liked it that much to where I could have just watched it straight through. And I think that's a testament of I think that's one testament of like a really good show is when you really don't want to put it down, just like a book. I didn't want to put it down. I was that invested in the storyline of it. And I thought the only thing I think is that they tackle a lot of issues. I think they do a really good job of that. The only thing I think that gets a little confusing is I think the timing sometimes was a little like, okay, when is this? What's happening here?
You
kind of lose that a little bit, but I don't think that it affects me, like, you know, wanting to recommend the show because I absolutely could not stop watching it. I think it's one of Apple TV's best, top five.
Yes.
For sure. And I think it's just a really, really, really cool, you know, movie you're gonna laugh at a little bit. There's gonna be drama in it. It makes you think. I just really enjoyed it.
I will say two things to take away that I'm gonna add to this is Apple's catalog of shows that are good keeps growing. Lessons in Chemistry, Ted Lasso, and Severance.
Oh, Severance, yeah.
It keeps growing.
So I'll say it's top three because there's only three. I'm watching others.
Okay.
But
then look at the movies that are out now. Also, like Napoleon.
Did you know Halo's coming back in February? God. Pablo Schreiber and that fucking hot man. And then Reacher's come back in like 2 weeks. Girl.
Reacher comes back on the 15th.
It is a hot man Christmas, y'all.
December 15th, baby. Reacher.
God, that man is so fucking big. Ugh.
But my other thing is.
Glug. Glug, 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 glug.
With this show, I did not expect the ending, and I really liked the ending.
Oh, yeah.
It actually was like a really unexpected and landed really well.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, good job.
I would have liked something a little different, but I did. I agree with you.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Lessons in Chemistry.
Yes.
H2O. It's a symbol for water.
Thank you. Symbol. Equation.
If you add oxygen.
It's the chemical compound.
It makes it. I don't know what H2O. O2 is. I think I should know what H2O2 is. Is that hydrogen? No, hydrogen is just H.
Well, I'm going to stop this before you insult yourself. I was really good at chemistry,
guys. Just so you know.
What
is H2O2? Google it. H2O2 is like H2O2. Did I just make up something? Trademark. Can I patent it?
Hydrogen peroxide.
Oh, it is a real equation. It is a real compound. Fuck you, asshole.
I'm good at this. Is H2O2 hydrogen? No, that's just H.
Well, no, H2O is 2 hydrogen. It's hydrogen 2.
It has hydrogen in it.
It has 2 hydrogens. You have to do 2 hydrogen molecules and 1 oxygen molecule to make water.
Correct.
And then when you do 2 hydrogen molecules and 2 oxygen molecules, it makes hydrogen peroxide.
Incorrect.
You're welcome, bitch. Don't say correct like you know. You ain't know. You ain't know.
I know now.
You ain't know. Just give me a beaker and a Bunsen burner, y'all. I want to be a chemist. I'm gonna mix some solutions and
oh my god, I'm crying.
And like those little metal tongs to pick things up when beakers are too hot. Like I'm gonna get a set of those and like some test tubes.
I'm literally crying right now.
And like did I already say I wanted a Bunsen burner?
You did.
Okay. And then like one of those tubes that like connects to the Bunsen burner. And I'm gonna have all that. I'm gonna make caramel on accident.
I mean, that's how she made her coffee. She boiled the coffee
in the beaker. She had the best coffee in the apartment.
Yeah.
You know.
She made espresso.
So, yay.
Well, stay tuned for our final review of the year coming next week.
Yeah, it's gonna be, should we say?
Sure.
Showtime original Fellow Travelers with the incomparably hot Matt Bomer. And the also equally as hot.
I don't know the other guy.
Jonathan
name.
Bailey.
I don't want to look it up. We'll figure it out.
Look it up. I don't want to be wrong. Okay. It's Jonathan Bailey.
Well, I'm pretty sure. Know?
I don't know. Google it.
Google it.
Matt Bomer and Jonathan Bailey. Jonathan Bailey sounds correct.
Jonathan Bailey.
Yep. With just these two hot, dark-haired white men.
Look at that picture, Jonathan.
Oh, no, no. They're so fucking hot, dude.
The unexpected arms.
You guys, keep ready for a lot of butt sex.
Wow. You're just going to just put it out there now.
Yeah, I'm just put it out there now. I'm going to leave you with that butt sex. Talk to you guys next week. Bye.
Bye. You've been listening to Watch or Not with Jay and MJ.
Interact and give us suggestions on what to watch at watchornotpodcast@gmail.com.
You can follow us on Twitter at watchornot_pod.
And don't forget about Instagram, you guys, at watchornotpod.
Don't forget you can support the pod by joining our Patreon at watchornot with Jay and MJ.
And subscribe and leave a review wherever you guys listen to podcasts. Talk to you soon.